Praise God. You have to excuse me, I'm slightly nervous today. It's been a while since I've done this. But I just want to give God thanks. And we're in the middle of a series on living missionally, 100 days of living missionally. And I've just got a quick question to start off with. And I'm just going to say, who here knows or believes that they have a gift of evangelism or a ministry or calling of evangelism on their lives? Can you just put your hands up? Okay, there's a few. Praise God. Who here is pretty sure they don't have? Okay. Yeah. Not many hands. And who really doesn't know? Okay. There's a lot of people who didn't put their hands up at all, so. Okay. I'm going to say this isn't really about evangelism. So, you know, if you are an evangelist, praise God for that gift and calling that you have, okay? But for all the rest of us that really don't have that gift, don't worry, okay? This is not about evangelism, okay? And I think sometimes when evangelism is talked about, people get a bit scared, a bit worried, you know, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I'm not skilled in this. But this isn't about that at all. I've got a few slides. Thanks, Matt. Cheers. And sorry, I don't normally do slides, so I might end up getting myself in a bit of a mix-up here. But the scripture that Damien gave me was 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And I'm just going to read this here. I'm going to read from the New King James, actually, but the NIV is up on the screen. And I'm just going to read from verse 13 to verse 18. It says here, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." Praise God. Praise God. I wanted to read those extra verses just to put this verse into context. Okay, because so I'll just put my Bible down now and refer to my notes. Okay. Just to put it into context, because we could just see here that this is about just giving people an answer. You know, when people ask us, why do we have a hope, just giving an answer. But actually, Peter here was writing to people who were being persecuted, but to people who were being oppressed and put down. Sometimes it's easy to sing and shout about God when things are going good, yeah? And to say, you know, God's great, God's amazing, and look how blessed I am. But we know that life isn't always like that. We may not be persecuted, really, very much in this country as a church. We're not really oppressed. We have a lot of freedom, a lot of liberty here. But we know life isn't just just a rosy and everything goes great all the time, does it? And in fact, probably many people here know bits and pieces about my life and our family. And, you know, we've had a few troubles over the last few years. But I just want to say that God is good. God is really, really good, okay? And it doesn't matter what our circumstances are, what our situation is, God is good, yeah? Okay, and we have a hope. Now, let me just read this verse once again here in the NIV. It says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Praise God. Now, I've got a few questions to ask here that kind of come out of that verse, and you can probably think of loads more questions, but questions I've got here are, is Jesus Lord of our lives? Okay, because we're told here, to revere Christ as Lord in our hearts. So is he Lord of our lives? Do we revere him? Next one, do we have a hope? Why? Why do we have a hope? And why would people even ask? You know, is our hope evident in our lives? What should we say to people? And how should we tell them? So these are just a few of the questions that I'm hopefully going to cover some of this today. I'm just going to say here, first of all, do we have a hope? Yeah? Do you have a hope? Yeah? Good. I have a hope. Yeah? And if you're here today and you don't have a hope, then there is hope. And that hope can be for you too. Okay? So if you feel down, if you feel depressed, if you feel that life is not going good, and you're looking for a way out, then don't worry. You know, there is a hope, and you can have that hope too. Praise God. And, you know, that hope, that each of us can have that hope if we receive Christ Jesus, okay? If we accept him as our Lord and Saviour. You know, it says that we are buried with him in baptism and raised with him in newness of life. You know, when we do that, we become born again. We have a hope of eternal life, of salvation. So anyway, just going to move on from here. Going to read a scripture here. So is Jesus Christ Lord of our lives? In Galatians 2, verse 20, this is the Apostle Paul, okay? And if we can truly say this along with the Apostle Paul, then, you know, this is what we should be able to say if Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. That I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, the gospel, the good news, okay, is amazing, isn't it? Yeah? You know, God so loved the world, God so loved you and so loved me that he gave his only Son to die on that cross for us. Yeah? That we could have a hope. That we could have salvation. Okay, he saved us from ourselves. Yeah, he saved us from sin, from the darkness of this world. And he's given us new life. All we have to do is give up our rubbish old life. You know, our filthy rags, our best righteousness, which is just rubbish. Just give it up. Say, here, God, you know, what an exchange. Yeah, what an exchange. Yeah. I don't know how good or bad your life has been, okay? But even our best life is just nothing in comparison to what God has. God who created the heavens and the earth. And we do, what we've got to do is just exchange that for what God has. Who gets the best deal out of that? I think we do. Yeah. It's a bit one-sided really, isn't it? Yeah. But God loves us so much that that's what he wants for us. Okay. So, you know, let's make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives. Let's truly, you know, if we're saying, Jesus, I accept you into my life, but only on Sundays, yeah, for a couple of hours. That's not really exchanging our old life for his, yeah. So let's crucify our old life. Let's crucify our flesh. Put it to death. It's no longer us, yeah. But we can have this new life in Jesus Christ and walk in a new life. You know, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've not been. Jesus Christ has a new life for us. The slate is wiped clean. Praise God. It's something to be excited about, isn't it? Yeah? Okay. It's a deathly silence. Yeah. But God is just awesome. And do you know what? One thing that I often find is whenever I'm studying to speak, I get life. You know, it stirs me up and I love it. And, you know, there are times where I think, in some respects, I don't really care if you don't get anything out of this because I have done anyway. Praise God. You know, God is awesome. We have something to be happy about. Yeah, we have a hope. Praise God. You know, earlier on we were singing, we're living for your glory. Are we? Are we living for God's glory? We were singing, in my life be lifted high. Is Jesus lifted high in our lives for more than just an hour or so on a Sunday morning? You know, is he the reason for our living? Is he the reason why we get up in the mornings? Now, I'm not saying that we should walk around with, you know, big grins on our faces all the time. Yeah, grinning like a Cheshire cat. Because for most of us, that's not normal. There might be one or two people that do, and praise God for them. Okay. But, you know, we have a joy. We have a hope. We should have peace in our hearts because of what God has done for us. Okay. So here, you know, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're talking here about total surrender to and being in awe of God. Reverence. It's something that actually is quite lacking in today's society, even in the church quite often, yeah? You know, to revere God. You know, sometimes we sing the song, I stand in awe, and then we sit down and we chat to the person next to us in the middle of service. And it's, God is awesome. You know, what he has done, even if the rest of our lives were just rubbish, just the very fact that he died on the cross and took away all of our sin and our shame, just that in its own is enough to give God thanks and praise every single day of our lives and give him glory. Praise God. I don't know if you agree or not, but that's how it is, yeah? Praise God. So Jesus is Jesus Christ, Lord of our lives. And if he is, great. If he's not, then I urge you, make him truly the Lord of your life. Surrender every part of your life to him, okay? And I think this isn't something that happens overnight, is it? It's a journey that I'm on, and hopefully we're all on, yeah? Continually surrendering more and more parts of our life to him. Saying, Lord God, it's not about me, it's all about you. Praise God. So, what is this hope? Okay, can we move on to the next one? So, what is this hope? What is hope, apart from a church? You know, that's not bad. It's pretty good. Okay, hope isn't just a church, is it? No? What is hope? An expectation, isn't it? Or anticipation. I looked in a few English dictionaries online, and it came up with all kinds of different things. So I decided actually I'll go to the Greek word and look up that. This is what it was saying. It was an expectation or anticipation, usually with pleasure. Confidence, trust, faith. These were the words that were given next to the Greek word for hope. So what is our expectation? What is our expectation of a mediocre life? That we'll finish at bang on 20 past 12 today? Okay. Adam's saying that's a bit optimistic probably, but okay. What is our expectation of life? What is our expectation of God? What's the expectation for our future, for our kids' future? Do we look at the doom and the gloom around us? You know, this EU referendum and Brexit has caused a lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty. There were a lot of lies on both sides before the referendum. And then there's been a lot of doom mongering, if you like, yeah, saying this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Do you know what? Whether they're right or whether they're wrong, it doesn't really matter. Okay? Our hope is not in our government. Our hope is not in the economy. Our hope is not in our bank balance. I hope it's not anyway. Okay? Our hope is in God. Yeah? Our hope and our expectation, okay, is in him. It's anticipation. You know, what do we anticipate? Well, there's a few things that Jesus told us we can look out for, which we'll come on to in a bit. But what happens when we die in this body? What happens when it all comes to an end? Is that it? Is it the end? No, we have this hope, don't we? We have this expectation that one day we're going to be in heaven with Jesus. And not just one day, but for eternity. Yeah? Think thousands of years. Think millions of years. Billions of years. In fact, forget years altogether. Because that's time. And our God is eternal. It's not restricted by time. Praise God. You know, hope, one of the words there for hope was confidence as well. Can we be confident in this? Why can we be confident in this? Does God lie? He never lies. Does he know what he's doing? I should think so. If he created the heavens and the earth, if he made you and he made me, and those are the beginning from the end, and everything in between, we should have a confidence in God, shouldn't we? Not in ourselves. I don't have a confidence in myself here today, trust me. Okay? In fact, I barely slept at all last night. But and this morning I was laying in bed and I was thinking, oh, I haven't slept at all. And part of it was because I was too hot under the covers and too cold out of the covers and stuff like that. But and then I was it's like, oh no, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it's like, hang on, stop, stop. Thank you, God, that I'm here sleeping in a bed. Thank you, God, that actually that I can be too hot rather than freezing cold outside. Thank you, God, that you're just so good. You know, we're so blessed. We're so, so blessed. Anyway, I'll perhaps come back to some of that later. But a hope. If you don't have a hope, okay, come to Jesus. He will give you hope. Yeah? And at the end of service, come up to the front and have prayer with some of the prayer team. And they'll help you through this. Praise God. But we can trust God. We can trust God. We can have confidence in him. Okay? We have an eager expectation. An anticipation, looking forward to that day when we will have no more sickness, no more pain, no more sleepless nights, okay, no debt or money worries, no bills to pay, okay, when we can just spend eternity praising God, okay. Now, I'm really sorry, actually, I don't know how many people here like praise and worship, okay, who enjoyed praise and worship this morning? And did anybody not enjoy praise and worship this morning? Because actually, I'm really sorry that the news for you is we're going to spend eternity praising. Yeah? So I suggest you get used to it now and learn to enjoy it now. Okay? Because we're going to spend the whole of eternity praising God. Okay, so let's hope. So we kind of covered very briefly what hope is. But let's just look at a few scriptures here for that. I'm going to turn to Colossians chapter 1. And verse 27 says, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles. Sorry, to them, that is to the saints in Christ, yeah. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, where is Jesus now? Where is he? You know, we know that he died on the cross, don't we? We believe that he rose again. And where is he now? Sorry? Seated at the Father's right hand. We know he's here with us as well, but he's seated at his Father's right hand in glory. Okay? And we have that same hope of glory too. You know, it says that we were buried with him in baptism. Yeah? We died with him. And buried with him in baptism. But then we've risen again in new life. Okay. Also says that if we suffer with him, then we will also share in his glory as well. Praise God. Praise God for suffering. Easy to say when I'm standing up here on Sunday morning, isn't it? Not so easy to say when you're going through it. But it's true. Praise God for suffering. Yeah? You know, this hope is a hope of glory, of eternal life. Okay? Now, that hope is not something that we have to just wait for either. Okay? Eternal life doesn't begin when we die, when we leave these earthly bodies. Eternal life has already begun when we've received Jesus Christ and become born again. That eternal life has already begun. Yes, our physical bodies may die, but we've already begun eternal life. Praise God. Let me look at another scripture here. And sorry, I was reading this scripture, and I kind of got so excited that I was reading it in three different versions of the Bible at the same time, and I kind of wanted to show all three of them, but my wife persuaded me to cut it down to two. So, okay, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 to 5 in the NIV says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Praise him. "In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept or reserved in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time." So we, in God's mercy, he's given us new birth into living hope. So we are saved, yeah? We're saved. Saved from sin, saved from death, saved from all of the corruption of this world. We are saved. Yeah? Are you saved? Yeah? If you're not, okay, it's awesome. Come and know salvation. Salvation is in the Lord, in Jesus Christ. Yeah? So we're saved. Most of us here are saved already. But do you know what? There's a process that we go through as well. Yeah? So we are saved. But it also says that we are being saved. In various scriptures, it says we're being saved. We're being changed. We're being transformed. Okay? It says that we're being transformed into his image as we behold him. Okay? That we're transformed from glory to glory. It says that be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Okay? And not to be conformed to this world. So there's a process that goes on. Yeah? And church is part of that process. This is why we have Bible teaching. This is why we have study. This is why we have discipleship. This is why we have life groups. So we can grow. We can help one another to grow and to change. And we are being saved. Yeah? But we also have this hope that we shall be saved too. Yeah? Because the one bit that's not being saved at the moment is our bodies. Yeah? I used to have hair, yeah? I used to not have to wear glasses. So our bodies are wasting, aren't they? Yeah? They're wasting away. But one day, we will know that full and final salvation, if you like, yeah? We have that hope, that glory. And I know there's many people here that have different ailments and sicknesses, okay? But we have a hope. One day we're not going to have that. We're going to have a new body. We're going to have a new body. I can't wait. God is so good. You know, it says here, okay, that we've had new birth into a living hope. So we are saved through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. It's incorruptible, yeah? This inheritance is kept reserved in heaven for us. So one day we're going to get to heaven, yeah? And we're, through faith, we're shielded by God's power until that coming of salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. So that's going to be revealed in the last times. You know, I said earlier that we're buried with Christ in baptism and raised with him in newness of life. You know, if you want to read more into these, you can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can read Romans 6 as well. It talks much more about this in there, but we don't have time to turn to this. As ever, one of the problems I have when doing a study is knowing I kind of end up with hundreds of scriptures, and then it's kind of you've got to narrow it down to which ones you're going to use. It's like the whole Bible is relevant. Just which scriptures we're going to use. I just want to read that scripture again, though, in the Message. Okay, because sometimes I like the Message because it kind of puts things into contemporary language that is sometimes easier for us to understand. Okay, so what a God we have. What a God we have. Shall I stop there? Yeah? No. How fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all. Life, healed and whole. Now, God does heal now. Yeah, there is healing now. You know, if we have sicknesses and ailments, we don't necessarily have to wait until then. You know, there is the power of God available right now for healing. But some people, some things, people aren't going to get their healing now. Don't ask me why. There's many things I don't understand. But actually, I don't know if people read the word for today. Was it yesterday or today? I can't remember now. It was talking about there are many questions that will be left unanswered until that day. And I'm okay with that. And I suggest that you too learn to live for now on this earth with some questions unanswered. Okay, you'll have a lot more peace. Just trust God. Our hope is in God. We can trust him. He doesn't have to tell us everything now. If we truly trust him, if we truly believe in him, then we can say, okay, God, I don't understand this. I really don't understand, but I trust you. My hope is in you. You are my salvation. And we're just going to look at an example, a couple of examples, in fact, here, of how people have done this. Okay, so we have a hope. But, you know, one of the questions, if we go back to the scripture that it's meant to all be about today, okay, it's saying when people ask you the reason for your hope. Now, I don't know, if people in here, how many people ask you about your hope? Do you have to go out knocking on doors to tell people about your hope? Do we have to stand on street corners? Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. There are times to do that. But this here is talking about people asking us. So we don't, not even going out there trying to push the gospel, yeah? This is people asking us. How many people ask you on a day-to-day basis? Praise God. Some people, yeah? When was the last time somebody asked you the reason for your hope? For some of us, it might be quite a while ago, yeah? Okay? Sorry? Last night, fantastic. Oh, last Saturday. Okay, praise God. But, you know, this should be something that happens all the time. And I have to confess, it doesn't happen all the time to me. The people should be asking us the reason for our hope. Our hope should be so evident in our lives that people are asking. How many times have people said, there's something different about you? What is it? Yeah? Why are you always happy? How can you have a peace when everything around you is going wrong? I just want to say here as well, I'm really sorry to anybody here who was told to become a Christian and your life will just be perfect after that. Okay? Is there anybody here who was told that before they gave their life to Christ? Because if there is, I just want to apologize to you, yeah, right now and say I'm really sorry that's not true. Yeah? You know, for many years I used to have a page that was taken out of a magazine I kept in my Bible for many years. And actually, it was an advert, okay, ripped out of a magazine advertising a certain brand of nappies. And it just said on it, poo happens. Yeah? So what? Yeah? And do you know what? Poo does happen, yeah? To everybody. Yeah? We all have things go wrong. We all have, you know, illnesses, ailments, family troubles, yeah? financial problems. Things go wrong. It doesn't mean you're cursed just because something goes wrong. Stuff happens to everybody. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. Also, it rains on the just and the unjust, yeah? Just because things go wrong or something bad has happened, it doesn't mean you're cursed. Okay, I just want to clear that up first of all, yeah? Bad stuff happens. I've heard people in the past also say that as Christians, we should always wear the best clothes, live in nice houses and drive nice cars so that the world can see how blessed we all are. Okay, how good God is because he's blessed us all. Can I also just debunk that one as well? Okay, that's not how it is. Because actually there's many, many people who are very evil and very wicked who live in nice big houses, drive nice cars, okay, and everything seems to be going swimmingly for them. Because that doesn't really show how good God is, does it? Yeah. But we're going to look at a couple of examples here. And the Apostle Paul is one. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about the Apostle Paul. Yeah, he was educated. He actually went around persecuting Christians before he became one himself and having them put to death. But why would people ask us about our hope? Is it evident? Now, let me just tell you about Paul. The Apostle Paul, he was whipped 5 times. Yeah? He was beaten with big sticks 3 times. He was stoned at least once. And I don't mean he'd been smoking something there, yeah? He'd had rocks thrown at him, yeah? Okay. He was shipwrecked 3 times. It's pretty bad to be shipwrecked once, isn't it? But shipwrecked 3 times. He was imprisoned. I don't know how much. He knew sleeplessness. Hey, praise God. Hunger, thirst, cold, nakedness. He tells us all this in 2 Corinthians 11. So, would you say things went pretty well for Paul? Yeah. He had a pretty good life, didn't he, yeah? I'm sure he had the best chariot around, didn't he, yeah? Do you know what? He had such a good life that even as a pastor, he didn't always have enough money to support him. His congregations didn't always give him enough money to support him. So he actually had to work making tents. So he had to work and do the ministry. And he had all of this happen to him. Pretty miserable, really, isn't it? Do you think he had a reason to complain or to grumble? Well, I think he had plenty of reasons to. But actually, what did Paul say? Yeah? Apostle Paul. Let me tell you some of the things that he said. Sorry, can we? He said, in everything, give thanks. So was that just in times when things are going good? What does everything mean? Everything, yeah? In everything, give thanks. When you're shipwrecked. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And he said that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and according to his purpose. And you've got the scriptures there. You can look them up, yeah? We're going to turn to a couple of them. How could he say that? How could he say those things when he was going through all these? In fact, some of these things he actually wrote when he was in prison. How do you do that? Because his hope was in God, not in his circumstances. Yeah? His trust is in God. Praise God. Where is our hope? Are we affected greatly by our circumstances, by the things that go on around us? I'm not saying that we are kind of like superhumans and these things never affect us. But, the more that we are crucified with Christ, the more it's less of us and more of him, the easier it is. The more we fix our eyes on Jesus are not on our circumstances. You know, in our life group the other week, we were talking a bit about Peter getting out of the boat and the storm around, yeah? In fact, oh, and also about Jesus being in the boat, okay, in the storm. But when Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, he fixed his eyes on when he fixed his eyes on Jesus, everything was fine. When he looked at the storms around, he started sinking. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Okay, we have a hope. I feel sorry for the people around us who are reading all the newspaper headlines, who are believing, you know, that we, the whole, you know, economy is about to collapse or whatever. Yeah, okay, you know, whether it does or whether it doesn't, it doesn't matter to us. Yes, we may experience some financial hardship if it does. But our hope is in God. Who supplies all of our needs? Is it our job? No. God may use our employment to supply our needs, but it's God who supplies our needs. Who gives us peace? Who gives us joy? You know, in Nehemiah it says, the joy of the Lord is, it says your strength, but we can claim that as our strength, yeah? Okay? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Who has the joy of the Lord? And as I say, that doesn't mean going around with a big grin on your face all the time. Yeah? It's a deep joy inside. A peace that we have that surpasses all understanding. You know, when we make our requests made known to God. That's in Philippians 4. Just after, rejoice in the Lord always. How do you do it? It tells you there in Philippians. Give all your worries to God with prayer and thanksgiving. Okay, and the peace of God will that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind. And then it goes on to say, whatsoever things are, lovely, pure, holy, think on these things. Don't think about all the rubbish. Think about what God has done for us. You know, like this morning in bed, thinking, oh, I haven't slept. Oh, I was too hot. No, thank you, God, that I have a bed to sleep in. Thank you, God, that I've got a house to live in. Thank you, God, I've got food to eat. Thank you, God. There are so many people in this world that don't have these things. We have so much to be grateful for, so much to give God thanks for. Okay, and on top of all of that, we have a hope. Okay? You know, what's God got in store for us? Do you know what? I can't even fathom it. Yeah, sometimes we read in Revelation and various other parts of the Bible about heaven, and it's like, do you know what? I can't even figure it all out. But God, I just trust you, and I know it's going to be good. Yeah, you know, streets paved with gold. It talks about new heaven and new earth, and all these kind of amazing things. And there, you know, won't even be need for a sun in the sky because of the light will just shine. It's like it's a bit mind blowing, really. You know, I'm just reminded of that song by Mercy Me. I can only imagine. I don't know if some people know that, yeah? You know, will I stand in your presence or to my knees will I fall? Yeah, and it goes on. But in everything, give God thanks, yeah? The Apostle Paul, who knew suffering, said, in everything, give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always, because all these things work together for our good. Praise God. You know, is that hope evident in our lives? You know, in our workplace, where we live, when people are worrying about things and stressed, they should be able to see in us that we're not. We have a peace. We have joy. You know, Paul also said, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is what Paul said, bearing in mind what he went through. For our light and momentary troubles, how often do they feel like light and momentary troubles? Okay? But when you look at things in perspective, okay, we're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. So, you know, even if we have a tough 70-odd years on earth, okay, it's still momentary. Yeah? And light, in comparison to many other people, so our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, all the troubles around us, our circumstances, But we fix our eyes, sorry, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Okay, can we also say that with Paul? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Sorry, Philippians 4, where Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He also said, let your gentleness be evident to all. Yeah. So we shouldn't be ranting and raving when things go wrong. We shouldn't be stressed out. We shouldn't have road rage. Yeah. Or any other kind of trolley rage in the supermarket or whatever else. Okay. You know, when things happen, we shouldn't be cussing and swearing, should we? No. Okay. Because we have a peace. We have a joy. We have a hope. Let our gentleness be evident to all. Okay, we've already looked at Romans 8. Now, I just want to also look at somebody else as well, just slightly more recent than the Apostle Paul, because once again in our life group, we talk about Acts chapter 29, because kind of what God was doing didn't stop at Acts chapter 28. God has been doing stuff for the last 2,000 years as well, and using people and doing amazing things throughout the whole of the last 2,000 years. And I just want to pick out one person. I'm going to ask Sister Jennifer to come and read something in a moment. I don't know who's ever read the book Vanya, okay, about Ivan Moiseev. He was a young soldier in the Red Army, and he died in 1972, which I know is kind of like a lifetime away for some of you, but actually it's relatively recent past. And I read this book as a teenager, and it kind of touched me. I'm going to ask Sister Jennifer to come and read just a little bit about his life and how he was oppressed, but he had an impact on his fellow soldiers.
Major Gudenko, head of the Political Directive Committee, looked up as the young soldier entered. Ivan Moiseev had been interrogated again and again by many others and had never backed away from his faith. Still, Gudenko was certain that he could solve this problem. Moiseev, you don't look like a poor pupil to me. Why are you not learning the correct answers? He asked. Sometimes there is a difference between the correct answers and the true ones, Ivan answered. Sometimes God does not permit me to give correct answers. So God talks to you. Who is this God of yours? As soon as he had asked the question, Gudenko regretted it. Ivan leaned forward in his chair, his face glowing with joy at the opportunity to share his faith. Sir, he is the one who created all the universe. He greatly loves man and sent his son. Gudenko interrupted, yes, yes, I know the Christian teaching, but what has that got to do with being a soldier? Do you disagree with the teaching of the glorious Red Army? No, sir. But do you not accept the principles of scientific atheism upon which is based our entire Soviet state and the military power of the army? I cannot accept what I know to be untrue. Everything else I can gladly accept. Moiseev, no one can prove the existence of God. Even priests and pastors agree on that. Sir, they may speak about not being able to prove God, but there is no question about knowing him. He is with me. Now, in this room. Before I came here, he sent an angel to encourage me. Gudenko stared intently at Ivan. At last he spoke warily. I am sorry, Moiseev, that you will not be reasonable. Your persistence will do nothing for you except bring discomfort. However, through the years I have found that men like you often come to their senses with a little discipline. I am ordering you to stand in the street tonight after taps are played. You will stand there until you are willing to reconsider this nonsense about talking gods and angels. Since the temperature is likely to be 13 degrees below zero for your sake, I hope you quickly agree to behave sensibly. Tomorrow we should make a plan together for your political re-education. You are dismissed. Gudenko expected Moiseev to hesitate, to reconsider. Instead, he squared his shoulders and quietly walked to the door. Private Moiseev. When the soldier turned around, Gudenko noticed he was a little pale. Then he had understood the order. You will obey my instructions in summer uniform. That is all. That night, as the bugle sounded, Ivan made his way down the stairs of the barracks and into the snowy street. He recoiled from the icy blast of the wind that burned his ears and made his eyes water. His thin summer uniform was no help in the bitter cold. He glanced at his watch. It was 1 minute after 10 o'clock. Tonight he would have a long time to pray. But for the first time since he had been in the Soviet army, prayer did not come easily. He was worried. Could he stand out here all night? What if he froze to death? Would they let him freeze to death? What if he got so cold he gave in to their demands? The what-ifs flooded his mind and left it spinning. He knew he had to think of something else. Then he remembered the angel who had visited him that morning. The angel had said, "Do not be afraid, I am with you." Suddenly he realized the angel's words had been for tonight. Although he could no longer see him, Moiseev knew the angel was still there with him. He began to pray fervently. It was 12:30 when he was distracted from his prayers by the crunching of snow. Bundled in their overcoats, hats and boots, three officers were slowly making their way toward him. "Private Moiseev, have you changed your mind yet? Are you ready to come in and get warm?" "No, comrade officers. As much as I want to come in and go to bed, I cannot. I will never agree to remain silent about God." Even in the dim light, Moiseev could see the officers were amazed and confused. How could he stand such cold? "Do you plan to stand out here all night long?" "I don't see how anything else is possible. And God is helping me," Ivan checked his hands. They were cold, but not too cold. He could still move his toes easily. It was a miracle. He looked at the officers and could see that even in their coats they were already shaking from the cold. They were stamping their feet and slapping their hands, impatient to return to their heated barracks. "You'll feel differently in another hour," the senior officer mumbled as they quickly turned away. Ivan continued to pray for all the believers he knew. He sang Christmas carols. He prayed for every officer he knew and knew of. He cried out to God on behalf of the men in his barracks, but gradually his mind seemed to be floating somewhere outside of his head. As much as he tried, prayer eluded him. Ivan was dozing on his feet when at 3 o'clock the senior officer on duty woke him and let him return to the barracks. For the next 12 nights, Ivan continued to stand in the street outside his barracks. Miraculously, he did not freeze, nor did he beg for mercy. Ivan continued to speak about his faith to his comrades and officers. He sang about the glory of Jesus Christ in his barracks, though this was strictly prohibited. To those who threatened him, he replied, "A lark threatened with death for singing will still continue to sing. She cannot renounce her nature, neither can we Christians." Soldiers around him were converted, impressed by his ardent faith.
Thank you, Jennifer. Now, we are not in the same situation as Ivan Moiseev was then. You know, we don't have that persecution. We have a lot of freedom. But what happened there was the people around him were amazed by the fact that he kept singing and praying. You know, there's many other passages in the book where he had to, like, scrub a whole floor and he's singing and soldiers gathered round because they just couldn't believe how he could do that. And this is how we should be. People should see a difference in our lives. So I'm going to finish soon, Adam. Okay. People should see a difference in our lives. They should see something different about us. Okay. I know, Adam was talking about salt. Damon's been talking about us being a light as well recently. And, you know, is our light shining? Is our light shining? You know, we have that light in us, but is it shining? Can people see in us a difference? Can they see that we have a hope? Okay. Can they see these things? You know, I've already said the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, each of us have a testimony. Yeah. Each of us have a testimony. You know, why are we happy? Sorry. Why are we happy? These are the kind of questions that people may ask of us. Why are you happy? Why do you have peace when all around you is turmoil? Yeah. And we can say, you know, what God has done for us. We can give an answer, can't we? You know, we have this peace, we have this joy because God has done so much for us. Because we have that hope we have that salvation, and we have a hope of full salvation and glory. And how has God changed our lives? You know, we can just talk to people about what God has done, how he's changed our lives, what a difference it's made. And yes, on the outward, it may not seem as though our lives are a lot better because we still have bad things happen. But when we can say to people, yeah, bad stuff's happened, but it's not a problem because God is in control. These things don't affect us in the same way that affect other people around us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we need to also remember as well that nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, there's a passage in Romans 8, isn't there? We were studying through Romans 8 before. That nothing, you know, please try and remember that, that nothing, nothing at all can separate us from the love of God. No troubles, no trials. Just going to turn to a couple more scriptures very quickly before I finish. Okay. And Romans 1 verse 16, our life group should know this one as well anyway, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." Are we ashamed? You know, first of all, our hope should be evident in our lives. And when people ask us, do we know what we're going to say? Do we know why? Now, I'm not saying that we have to have every word rehearsed. We don't have to think about that. Okay, because we'll see in a moment. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And here we go. Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and 12 says, "When they drag you," this is from the Message version again as well, says, "When they drag you into their meeting places or into police courts and before judges," and these things may well happen to us as well in this country in coming years. Yeah. You know, let's not just be too comfortable. Yeah, let's not be too comfortable. These things may well happen. You know, as Christians, our freedoms are slowly being restricted, even in this country. Yeah. So when they drag you into their meeting places or into police courts and before judges, don't worry about defending yourselves. Okay. Know what the hope is inside you, but don't worry what you'll say or how to say it. The right words will be there. The Holy Spirit will give you the right words when the time comes. You know, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you know, he knows all things and he will give us the right words. We don't have to have it all rehearsed out word for word what we're going to say, okay, when people ask us. We just need to know what that hope is, why we have that hope ourselves, yeah? And fix our eyes on Jesus so that that hope does shine out from us as well. People can see it in us so that they will ask. I've just got one last verse here. Here's the last one, Adam. Okay, and the reason why I want to, I don't think it's even on there, but the reason why I want to read this verse is because it's relevant. And also, I don't know if people read the word for today, or also, in fact, Thursday morning, I just sat down and I thought, am I going about this completely the wrong way, God? Okay. And just as I asked that question, I clicked on my YouVersion Bible and the verse verse for that day was this here, okay? And actually, I've seen it in one or two other places since then as well, just since Thursday. John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this word, sorry, these are the words of Jesus, yeah? It says, I've told you these things that you may, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So I just want to encourage you with that, yeah? We will have trouble, yeah? We will have trouble. Anybody who tells you otherwise is lying. But we can have peace in Christ Jesus. Take heart. Be of good cheer. Be happy. Don't worry. Yeah? Because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And we are in him. We are his and he is ours. Praise God. So I'm going to hand back to Adam. But, you know, if you want to know more of that hope, okay, if you haven't got that hope yet, or if you want to know more of it, then now is a great time to come up for prayer. Praise God.